Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Oh, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, it was a good one. It was a good one. As we started off shaking the Monday morning blues, and we were joined by our, that's right, our due time crew, and we got a chance to talk about things you never ask your partner. Yes. And what's wrong with you came up. Or why do you do that? Why do you keep doing that? Yes, yes, yes. Those are the type of questions that were challenging. And we talked about, you know, the timing of your questioning and the way you say your questions and the question itself. Yes. We got to talking, and yeah, you know, those things do matter, okay? And a lot of times, we're not paying attention because we all wrapped up in what we want to say, okay? So we want to make sure that we're thinking completely and we're asking the right question and making sure we ask things the right way. Okay, yes, it all matters. Yes, it all matters. Well, our switch tip is how we ended on Monday. And watch what you question was a switch tip. I always tell you, it always somehow gets partnered up with our topic of the day. And watch what you question. You know, we started off with, you know, why even bother? Sometimes it's better not to ask those particular questions, but we're talking about when it comes to God. Are you asking, what kind of question are you asking God? Well, years ago we were told, you know, you just can't question God, you shouldn't question God, and we've grown out of that because God wants us to talk to him. And sometimes that may mean you're going to ask a question. So don't get all scared, but make sure you ask the proper questions. And the way you ask your questions, you want to make sure that you do that, because you don't want to just go asking questions all willy-nilly, okay? And you don't want to just question everything, because faith plays a big part in, you know, us asking God those questions. So just be careful, okay, how you talk to God and what you say, because remember, God knows your heart, okay? Well, we moseyed on down to Tuesday. Let's talk about it Tuesday. And with our pastors, We talked about why Christians are so unhappy. What makes an unhappy Christian? Well, we just summed it up by saying just some of our decision making. Yes, a lot of our decision making has a lot to do with why we're unhappy. You know, that woman who goes and gets that man and marries him regardless of, you know, what our responsibility is in being a Christian and choosing a Christian. And, you know, how about that porn? Yes. Well, you know, we're thinking that, you know, as long as I don't indulge before marriage, you know, with another person, I'm okay. No, that's not okay. And these things will bring a level of unhappiness to your life. Yes. Can't do stuff like that. Okay. So we want to make sure we're doing the things that God wants us to do and we're focused on God. You know, if you're going to ask God some questions, then ask him some good ones. And that way, you can kind of stay out of that unhappy box. Yes. You want to make sure you stay out of the unhappy box. That's what we're going to call it. So what are you going to do? Talk to God and ask him questions that's going to help you make the right decision that will keep you from being unhappy. Okay? All righty. Well, we moseyed on down to Wow Wednesday. And Vivian helped to remind us that Florida, they're just all out of control. Yes, because of them, we broke the six-week trend of not having any COVID numbers go up. Yes, all the numbers had decreased for 6 weeks, and now we have to deal with Florida, who has just gone all out of control and made these numbers go in the opposite direction. Well, that didn't hold a candle to her story of the 41-year-old man raping his 13-year-old daughter's friends. Yes, drugging them and raping them. And what is this world coming to that we can't even expect another parent to take care of our children? Yes, even the men. You know, I'm not sending my child over there for you to babysit her, but at least you can make sure she's protected. Now, when I got to worry about her being protected against you, oh, we got issues, okay? So make sure you watch them children and who they're around, okay? Well, we spoke to the ladies, women of worship, and they rounded off that intentional living for women. Christian women, that is. And you know what? They nailed it when we talked about the gifts and talents that you give off. Yeah, that's not going on in the church. You know, sometimes we get all stuck on this gifts and talents thing, and we don't do anything with it outside of God's house. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to take care of God's people outside the church with the gifts and talents he's given us. What can you do to help expand? Remember, the talents need to be used so that they can be added unto you. Yes, remember the story of the talents. The more they use the talents, you know, they multiplied those talents that, yeah, God came back and gave them more. Well, are you the one who got one talent and it got taken away? No, we don't want that to happen to you. All right? So make sure you do what you got to do. Okay, well, our Techie Talk Dwayne stopped on by and blessed our life on Wednesday by giving away his gifts and talents to us. So we had a gifts and talents, inaction. Okay? And we rounded off our Wow Wednesday with our Faith Over Fear segment with our Pastor Charlene. Yes, we can't do that without we can't end our Wednesday without getting our Faith Over Fear segment. Yes, okay. Well, we're talking about Thursday now. Therapeutic Thursday rolled around before we knew it. And, oh, we got to talking about them siblings. Yes, well, studies show that the more siblings you have, the sicker you may be in life. Ain't that something? Oh, what happens to those people who have, like, 22 other siblings or 32 other siblings or 10, 15? Yeah, what happens to those people? Well, hopefully they won't be ill. Yeah, because that's what they say. They say the more siblings you have, the sicker you are. And we rolled into the topic of sibling rivalry. Yes, all those crazy stories that go on in our family. And how are you handling that sibling rivalry? Well, our Due Time crew was pretty candid. So we are so grateful to have them because, man, they lay it on the line at all times. Okay? And they definitely help us to lay out, you know, what we should do and what we shouldn't do when it comes to our siblings. And no, we can't choose them. We can't pick them. We can pick our friends, but we sure can't pick the siblings. So are they killing you in a different way? Because sibling rivalry can definitely kill you in more ways than one. Okay? Well, we rolled around to Freestyle Friday, and we did a tribute to our dads with the Men of Warfare. And we talked about why we appreciate our dads. Reasons why we should appreciate our dads. Well, one of the things is, well, he protects us from the monsters called other men. Yes, the other men in our life that we choose and they all jacked up. Well, we know Dad is on the job there to definitely take care of anybody who breaks that heart. Yes, 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 yes. And, you know, when we went down the reasons why you should love Dad is they were really broad. And we're just grateful that men like Pastor KL, Minister AJ, and Brother Al do exist, because whether we agree with, you know, necessarily with what they do as dads all the time or with what our dad did at all times, we give God thanks that we had a loving dad in our life. And we wanted to just take some time to, you know, put a pin in what they do. Yes. Excuse me. So if you're trying to figure out why you should love the dad in your life, well, let me help you. Go back and listen to Friday. Yes, because we had some nice conversation about that. Okay, so in case you missed any part of last week, I encourage you to go back and listen. Yes, you know how we do. You know how we do. Go back and listen, because last week, as with other weeks, they have been turned up ever since we crossed over our one-year mark. God said he was taking us to another level, and man, oh man, these conversations are something else. You know, we're constantly calling one another like, wow, did you just hear that? Yeah, because there's a reason for us being here, and God is really showing us what it is that we need to do. What has he called us to do? Well, one of the things you can do is listen to his due time with Pastor Steph on a regular basis, because maybe you can send in something that we haven't thought about. Yes, I invite you to do that. Now, God has the final say, and I've had some people suggest some things, and God has not, you know, put a stamp on it. So I don't move unless God tells me to move. But I got to tell you, we've had at least 52 weeks. Yes, as of May 2021, there were 52 weeks, 5 days a week of his due time with Pastor Steph. And man, what haven't we talked about? Yeah, you know, I was doing some research, and I'm looking at some topics that we've already addressed, but addressing it in a different manner, 100%. Yeah, so you want to keep up. I promise you, you want to keep up, okay? Because there and only there, here on a due time with Pastor Steph, where you get the food for thought that you get, okay? So, it's time to take that break. Oh, no. We can't take a break without me saying, oh, it's Monday, and we're shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes, I can't forget to say that. I got to remind you what day it is. And shaking the Monday morning blues is going to be what we do. We do that best every day. Yes, we don't have one particular day, unfortunately for you. You know, you can't be bluesy around us. Yes, God doesn't want you to be bluesy. So today, Monday, we jump start the week and shaking all of that off. We don't know what's happened over the weekend. But we do know that God is not going to allow you to carry that into his week. And not only Monday, but every other day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we help you shake those blues too. All right? So go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell a friend. That is due time with Pastor Steph is on. And we're getting ready to have our conversation. And you don't want to miss it, and neither do they. Okay? All righty. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Couldn't do it without you. We'll be right back.
Thank you to all the unsung heroes who have given blood, saving countless lives. Your efforts to help have not gone unnoticed. But there is still work to be done, and many more lives need to be saved. As a nurse who formerly worked in a trauma center and an emergency room, I know firsthand the importance of an adequate blood supply to save lives. We want to highlight the importance of donating blood because, simply put, donating blood saves lives. In America, someone is in need of blood every 2 seconds. Yes, every 2 seconds. So please, spread the word and tell everyone about the importance of giving blood. Take an hour out of your day and donate. Donating just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives, and any time a life can be saved, it's a wonderful thing. So remember, 1 hour, 1 pint, 3 lives saved.
Good morning to you. Welcome to his due time with Pastor Steph. And it's Monday, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. Now, what does that mean? Well, Monday morning blues can come in many different forms. shapes and fashions. And hey, you know, if you wake up and you're tired, many a morning I wake up and I'm tired, and you just can't seem to get yourself together, you know, it just may get you started off on the wrong side of the bed, and now that day is bluesy. Depends on what happened over the weekend. You know, somebody made you mad, thought that the weekend would be better. The weekend wasn't long enough. Oh, yeah. Definitely can take you down a bluesy road. You know, there are many things, that take us down a bluesy road, and we want to make sure that we don't, you know, tell God that we're unhappy. So even if, you know, you got started off that way, we want to make sure that you're not going to stay that way. Okay? So, what are we going to talk about today? Well, since today is Relationship Day, I came across a news story that just might pique your interest. Oh, yeah. Mononucleosis. What's that mononucleosis? Oh, it's regularly known as mono, and it's that kissing disease. Yep. And because mononucleosis is mainly transmitted through kissing, or known, let me put it that way, or known for being the kissing disease, we tend to believe that the only way you can even get mononucleosis is by kissing. Okay? And they say other viruses can sometimes cause mononucleosis. And they say many children can catch the virus. Okay? Even if you're not a teen. Yeah. Someone has contracted mono by before they were even a teen. Yes, they have, not very often, but it has happened. Okay? You know what? Let's think about this thing here. You know how you see these people, these grown people, kissing the children in their mouth? Oh, that kills me. Well, this is one of the reasons why you can't kiss the babies in their mouth, because you don't even know what you're passing on, okay? And let's get some information about that mono, okay? They say that mono is mainly contracted with our kissing, mainly high school and college students, okay? And again, it can start at childhood because someone older has given it to our children. And it ain't a pretty thing. Mm-mm. Okay. They say that you can get mono through the spread of primarily, today's a lesson, primarily through saliva and other bodily fluids. And they say that, you know what, watch eating and drinking behind people, because that's a way you can get it too. Well, I mean, it makes sense. If you can get it by kissing, then you can get it by any other way you spread you know, your saliva, okay? And sexual contact, blood transfusions, organ transplants, and even sneezing and coughing. Oh, they have given another reason why we need to cover our mouths. Oh, my goodness. Now, here's the thing that you may not know. They say that mono has an incubation period, a long one. So somebody could be infected up to a month before they even experience the just simple symptoms, okay? And even though you are not experiencing the symptoms, yeah, asymptomatic, that's what we like to say, you can still spread mono if you are contagious, okay? So they say avoid sharing drinks, sharing utensils, and other personal items. And make sure you tell your children to do the same. Now, have you ever seen women share lipstick? Oh, yes. Then not recently, but there was a time I would see somebody say, oh, let me have some of your lipstick. Let me, you know. Okay. We can't do those things. We cannot do those things, okay? So they say even watch in your children. Because remember now, let's pay attention to this. You have your child who goes to school. You have not taught them, or you have, and they decide to go outside of what you say, and they share that drink, and they share that drink with someone who has shared the drink with a younger individual, an older individual in their life, and now that person has passed on mono to your 8-year-old, to your 5-year-old. Well, they say we need to watch out for symptoms such as fever, sore throat, body aches and headache, fatigue, a mono rash, and swollen lymph nodes in armpits or the neck. Okay, and sometimes mono can bring on a little more, heavier symptoms, such as swelling in the liver and spleen. Now, I don't know how you gonna monitor that, but in other words, if some stuff starts happening and you can't figure it out, please stop trying to diagnose yourself and get yourself to a doctor. Okay, well, here's the other thing. That's why I say you better come take notes. Mono remains in your system for the rest of your life. Oh, my goodness. I almost fell over when I read that one. And they say that's because mono is a member of the herpes virus family. And it rarely reactivates after initial infection, but you may become contagious again. So, yeah, it's there. It may not pop up like herpes. You know, some people have herpes, and you don't see it for years, and then every once in a while, it'll raise its ugly head, okay? They don't know how long a person remains contagious, but they say that the symptoms last for about 4 to 6 weeks. And in some cases, it can last as long as 6 months with fatigue, persistent fatigue being one of the things that you experience. They say if your child is experiencing a case of mono, it's essential to drink plenty of fluids, rest, and take over-the-counter pain relievers to help with any fever, aches, and pains. Okay? They say that if you have mono, you should never take penicillin-based antibiotics. And you should avoid, are you ready for this? You should avoid participating in contact sports until your doctor gives you the okay, because there's a possibility of spleen rupture. Oh, my gosh. Now, you definitely want to watch out for this in your children because don't children play contact sports and things like that? So remember, please, this is bigger than what we knew back in the day of mono, that kissing. It was a no, it's deeper than that. All we ever knew was that if you were in high school or college or a young adult, don't go kissing on people because you might get mono. Well, as you can hear, it's deeper than that. Really deeper than that. So, come on, y'all. Let's make sure we get this thing going. Okay? All righty. Well, in light of Relationship Day, and we were talking about the wonderful dads or the wonderful world of being a dad last week, my next news is they're calling him the head of the largest family. He died and left behind 39 wives and 94 children. Oh, if that ain't enough to kill you, I don't know what is. Oh, my goodness. Okay. The world's largest family, they're believing this is. 39 wives, 94 children, and 33 grandchildren, and only one great-grandchild, comes out of India. Yes, he was 76 years old, Ziona, and he was the head of a polygamous Christian religious sect with 4,000 members. And his extended family lived together in a 100-room, four-storied mansion in India. And check this out, y'all. Check this out. He was a lowly construction worker. Now, here over in America, if you were a construction worker, you know, years ago, you didn't want no construction worker. He didn't make no money. Well, think about him. He was a construction worker, and he had 39 wives. So at least 39 people found him useful. I can't take it. Oh, my goodness. So he had one particular wife who took on the responsibility of making sure, making sure everyone else did right. And they say his wives would share his bed on any given night, and the rest of the spouses shared the other part of the house. Okay, and he got married when he was 17 years old. And he married 10 women in 1 year. Oh, my goodness. So that the one who mans all of what everybody does, she was his first wife. She's the one who's been married to him the longest. And she has the wonderful opportunity of making sure everybody, you know, putting that board up. Ooh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness. Well, they took care of the house, took care of itself because he had his own school and his own crops. Well, you would have to. How are you buying food for all these people? You're going to have a garden in your backyard. That ain't no surprise. You couldn't afford to feed them, not on no construction salary. But, you know, he was the head. He owned the construction business. Okay. Oh, my goodness. It says a guest house had been constructed to accommodate visitors. Man. Did he have his work cut out for him? Can you imagine? 94 children. Well, first of all, we're talking about the 39 wives. Man. I would love to speak to some men and find out how they would handle them 39 wives, 94 children, and 33 grandchildren. So, let's talk to our gentlemen of It's Due Time, the Due Time crew. Let's see what they are, what they've got to say today. So today we're short of a couple of due timers, and but we ain't never short of a word. So let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Chop, chop, chickeny chop, and I said one more chop of the morning. Oh, yeah.
I hope that you had a wonderful weekend.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Good. I'm glad. Because we talking about this mono thing this morning. What did you learn about mono today? Because you learned something. I don't care if it was one little piece. What did you learn about mono this morning?
Oh, man, I learned a lot. You know, as growing up, you know, fresh back in the days, like you said, it was known as the kissing disease, you know, but I didn't realize how serious it was till, you know, listening to what you were saying, how it stays in your system forever, you know, like Eddie Murphy said, you carry it around forever like luggage, you know. You know, I knew different ways to spray. You know, once you said kissing, you know, I just kind of automatically, okay, well, if you're drinking after somebody, so I kind of knew that, but I did not know that stay in your system like that, like forever, like that's crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And it says it's in the herpes family. And nobody ever told us that much. We never were told it was in the herpes family, brother Al.
Not at all.
You know, that's the scary part, because they say it has a long incubation period. 1 month. 1 month. It can sit in your system and you have no clue before the first signs begin to show. Oh, my. Oh, brother.
Right. Ooh, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Better watch who you put your lips on and who you drink after.
I always been specific on
who I drank after anyway. And even back in my days when I was running with the girls, I never kissed like that. And remember, you used to get mad and you don't like to kiss? I was like, not really. You know, so I was always kind of specific anyway with that. You know, but like I said, this did open up, you know, very helpful news, you know, that people realized. Because like I said, when we were told it didn't seem as a serious disease. Oh, that's the kissing disease. You just look at, oh, okay. You know, but knowing this stuff here, man, you know, that's something serious. And like I said, people who don't know it, you can imagine how much they just spread it. Like you say, even you may have it, not know it, and then you go kiss the little baby, or, you know, you know how some mothers are. They eat their food, they chew up the food for the baby in their mouth, and then put it in the baby mouth. You know, I've seen it. You know, we got some parents who do it.
I've seen it,
yes.
Brother Al. And you know what? I just didn't even think about it right now. But look at the germ you're passing on to the baby.
Yes.
I've seen them do that. I've seen people do that
baby.
Tons of times. Oh, poor little one.
The baby
don't even
don't even know what's going on.
No. Oh, and that's why I was like, oh, no, because, again. Or how about this one, Brother Al? When the pacifier drops, they wipe it, they wash it with, they put it in their mouth first, and then they give it to the baby.
Yeah. Hey, gave the baby mono. Yeah, we ain't gave the baby mono with your nonsense.
Yeah, I tell you. Well, it goes back to saying that our mouths, it's worse than an animal's mouth. Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
It's even worse now. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about this fatherhood. Brother Al, you got 39 wives, 94 grandchildren, and 39 wives, 94 children, and 33 grandchildren, and one lone great-grandchild. Man, would
Lord
you live to be 76?
I'm surprised he lived that long.
That's what I'm saying. Would you, I mean, could you live to 76 if that was your family composition?
Oh, I'd have been dead. First of all, the children would have drove me crazy. 94 children, they would have kept me alone. Just them alone would have killed me. And you know, it's amazing on people getting to these certain religions and stick to it. Because I'm looking at the women like, wow, so you just got to wait your turn to be with him.
Yep.
To, you know, not even just sexual, just to spend time with him. And,
right,
you know,
right.
Oh, my God, that's, you know, man, that's look, but pass the step back here, that's pimping to the fifth degree.
Man, oh man, oh man, I can't even imagine what life would be like. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
Well, thank,
insane.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us, Brother Al. And we'll be back to converse in a minute.
Okay.
Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday, Monday, morning. Good morning. Happy Monday.
happy Monday to you, too. And I pray that you had a good weekend.
That's it.
Good. That's good. Well, mono is the name of the game this morning that you don't want to play. What you thinking?
Well, I remember a dear friend of mine, his daughter actually contracted it. And because, like all of us, you know, the first thing you think is kissing, you know, he lives in South Carolina. As soon as he found out that she had mono, he drove from South Carolina to Florida to see what was up. Who you kissing? You know, who, you know.
Wow.
All of a sudden you want to do something. And in actuality, that's what happened. She drunk behind someone else, and, you know, she started not feeling well. And, you know, they took her to the doctor and found out that that's how she had it. And sure enough, that was how she contracted it, by drinking from someone else in class, in school. You know, you take your little lunch break. Somebody's got something that you want to drink, you know, especially one of those cans. You put your lip on that same can that they just had. And
ooh,
it's just that
girl. Ooh, Tamika, just makes my skin crawl. I've never drank behind people. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What did you learn today about mono that you didn't know?
Well, I definitely did not know that it's lifelong. You know, I've often, you know, as a child, the first thing you hear is herpes and, you know, to be cautious about herpes. But they never tell you that herpes and mono are in the same family. And so once you get it, it's a life, you know, thing. And so you only get one chance to make that mistake and you can't undo it, you know. So
that's really
serious thing.
Yeah, very hard lesson to learn, Tamika, to not drink behind people or watch who you're kissing. And, you know, there's no sign when you're getting ready to kiss that person or drink behind that person or eat behind that person that they have this this disease. So it makes
right.
it,
it's kind of,
you know,
like COVID of the lips.
Yep. And that's what I was thinking, not that way, but not COVID on the lips, but thinking about COVID, how you're walking around very unassuming, you know, and,
exactly.
and fevers and things like that. You know, you're not thinking that you could have something like that. So, ooh, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank God for knowledge, right? Because they probably
Amen.
Didn't know all of that back in the day. Now, what do you think about this, the children getting mono? Ooh.
Oh. The first thing you think, you know, and you know, especially in a church environment, I'm going to take it there, is that, you know, you have a newborn, you know, and before the child can really, that newborn really gets to church, everybody wants to hold, everybody wants to grab, everybody, and the first thing you think to do is kiss the baby's so cute, let me kiss, and, you know, I've always been one of those, don't be kissing on my baby, please don't. You know, just like the baby hasn't even gotten acclimated to life and breathing and functioning, and there's just all these kisses all over their face and the mouth. And I just, you know, I cringe. You know, I'm one of those people. My baby. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I would have like some type of netting around my baby. Have them real deep chained in. No, you know, everybody wants to unstrap a newborn. No, thank you.
Yeah. How about kissing them hands? Now, think about how bad it is to kiss the baby's hands with the baby
exactly.
now going to put his hands in his or her mouth. And now you've given this baby, unassumingly, you've passed on this germ to children. You know, everybody want to kiss the kids. And, oh, my goodness, girl, it just makes me cringe when I think about how easily this stuff is passed on. Oh, my goodness. Well,
you know, and even when you play the little games with the people, with the babies, with their feet, you know, you take off their shoes and you kiss the feet because, you know, we're talking about little babies. They put their feet in their mouth as well.
That's
so you still have to be careful with that as well.
That's right. That's right. Just, I say kiss the baby's butt. That way you ain't got no chance. I'm passing on nothing. Oh, my goodness. But keep the lips off the little kids, please, because I tell you don't know what you're passing on. All right, Tamika, we're talking about this dad. 39 wives, 94 grandchildren, 33 grandchildren, and one great-grand. How do you even keep up with all of that?
I don't know. You know, we know that in the Bible there were, you know, situations, we'll think of Leah and Rachel where, you know, we're talking about two sisters and you're trying to figure out, you know, the idea of, well, today is not your day to sleep with your husband. You got to wait till Thursday, your Thursday date, you know.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
Oh, well, and with that many wives, so... This is June. I may not get to you till September, if I get to you in September. And
absolutely.
There's a show called Sister Wives where, you know, a man is married to one person and it's that wife that sets up the meeting to meet other wives, you know, other women that will soon be the wife. I'm just trying to figure out the mentality that says it's okay for you to sleep with another woman, period. And then you telling me you're marrying that person. So that means I have to be faithful to you, and then you're faithful to the other wives. Where does that mentality come in where I say it's okay? That's the part that I'm not understanding.
Well,
and then 38 other times.
Yes, 38, almost 40. You know, you're talking about these countries where women mean nothing to men at the end of the day. You know, we're only supposed to be barefoot and pregnant. They don't have any real respect for women. So therefore, this is the way they, you know, live their polygamous life. And now you've introduced this lifestyle to how many children? So either you're telling the female children it's okay to be a part of this, or you're telling the male children it's okay to live like this, to run, you know, your family like this. And that there is really the scariest part.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So I don't know. You know, think about being a part of that. You know, Brother Al says the children would have driven him crazy by the time it was all over. But do you even know who your children are? Oh, my, Tamika. Could you really pick them out of a batch?
Well, here's the thing. You have to set up order. So that means... When I'm taking care of my children, that means that I have to be taking care of somebody else's children, correct?
Absolutely.
You know, and with us sharing the father, a lot of the children are going to look alike. You know, so what, do you put a tag on your child's clothes to make sure you know, okay, this one is mine. Here, you take that one. That's not mine. How do you, you know, I'm sure there's got to be some similarities
system,
between
the children. Right? Absolutely. And like you said, some system that they have in place that are even, like you said, some toe tags, a bracelet or something. I don't know. Because I can't even remember Shanti Shonice and Tamasia's name at a good day. Can you imagine? Trying to remember wives' names, children's names, all of that. Oh, no, Tamika, that's just way too much to be worrying about. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And let's say
happy
good morning
to be a part.
Well, thank you. We're happy to have you. Let's say good morning to Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning, Yiggity Yang, Yiggity Yang. Another Yiggity Yang.
How are you? You got to say Yiggity Yang for 39 times for every wife.
Yiggity Yang, 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 Yiggity Yang.
And that's the way you must sound when you try to hold down 39 wives. You must sound just like that on a good day.
Why not?
All right.
Give him number. Come here, number 22.
Yeah, and that's probably what he does. Ask the wife, well, whose turn is it today? But before we get there, we're talking about that mono kissing disease. What did you learn today about mono?
I learned that you can have mono and have more than one wife. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
You know what?
I didn't know that it was in the herpes family. And I didn't know the shelf life was so long that you can have it, you know, a whole month or carry it, you know, for the rest of your life.
Quite scary. If we think about all the people we didn't kiss in our lives. Now, I'm like, Brother Al, I wasn't always a big kisser. I don't like doing a whole bunch of kissing. I remember we were talking about, oh, wait a minute. Remember we talked about sharing toothpaste?
Oh, yeah.
Minister AJ, remember that? That's another
reason
why we cannot. Remember, Tamika, we can't share no toothpaste. Now we can add mono to the list of why we cannot share toothpaste. Oh, my goodness. How does this change your way of thinking, Minister AJ? I'm curious.
Well, I'm definitely going to be kissing less, you know. Do you have mono? So does mono run in your family? Is anybody named mono in your family?
What about the kids? Telling the kids, you know, all this information now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely going to let them know. You get out there kissing and make sure they don't have no mono.
Well, here's the thing. They say even with the contact sport, you have to get cleared from your doctor because you can't. Wait, what did they say about the spleen? Like sever or rupture your spleen? Can you imagine that? That mono breaks down that part of your body and you're walking around with that level of risk. Oh, my gosh. That's scary. That's scary, Minister AJ.
And I have two kids that play sports, so they better have their mouthpiece in. You better just keep your mouth closed and put a mouthpiece in it.
Oh, my goodness. No, for real. You know, it's a lot of information to give to your children now. You know what I'm saying? You just have to equip them with a whole lot more than we had to learn.
True indeed.
You know, so it just makes for a little more dad time. Oh my goodness. Okay, Minister AJ, I want to make sure I get this right. We got 39 wives, 94 children, 33 grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. Do you think you'd make it to 76 years old? You started at 17.
No, because I want to know what kind of job I would have had to have, or how long I would have had to work to support all them people. So for me, that alone would have killed me. Just thinking about providing for all of them would have killed me.
Absolutely. Well, he owned his own construction company. So you would have to own everything. A mansion on a on a hill. You'd have to own everything in order
and
to make...
And be one of the workers. Not only am I the president, I'm a client.
Absolutely.
You would have been one of the workers.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
You would have to, because you ain't making it no other way. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So today, thank you for joining us, Minister AJ. And we got some conversation today that kind of goes along with that news. And I want to get this together. Hold on. All right. We're talking about how do you know that the person you're seeing is your soulmate. Now, it sounds like to this Indian man, it really didn't matter who was the soulmate, because everybody was a soulmate at the end of the day. But we're going to be a little more selective. So we're going to, you know, play the relationship rumors today. And we're going to see what they say, our experts, and whether you agree that this is a sign that this is your soulmate, okay? Brother Al, we're going to start with you, okay? They say you know it's your soulmate when you can figure out what they're thinking, because you're just so in tune. I can read your thoughts, okay? What would you agree?
I think so. Because I think you'd be, you know, very in tune with that person, and you know that person pretty well. So in certain situations and stuff, you know, okay, this person going to do this, or this person going to say that. So I'm going to say yes to that.
Okay, okay. What about you, Tamika? You know, they say, oh, I know what you're thinking. I can read your thoughts because I know you that well. Is that a real sign of whether that's your soulmate?
I think that comes with relationship, you know, and that comes with time. You know, that's not something that you automatically know. And there are times when I may not necessarily know what you're thinking, and I have to actually ask. And so I don't think it's a prerequisite. I think that it comes with the relationship and getting to know each other and spending quality time with one another and talking and spending time. I think that's something that comes with the environment, but it's not demanded in a relationship.
Okay, okay. What about you, Minister AJ? We're talking about I can read your thoughts. I already know what you're thinking. Is that a way you could tell that that's your soulmate?
I say yes. Yes and yes and more yes. Because if you're around me for a long period of time and you don't know anything about me or know what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling or can't read my language, something is very wrong.
Okay, okay, okay.
You,
so that's...
you got to be, after a while, know what I'm thinking. Absolutely.
Wow, okay, okay. Well, they say that you just can't imagine what life was like without them. What do you think, Tamika?
I would be more likely to agree with that. And it would definitely hurt visualizing the loss of that particular person. You know, it cuts and, you know, you feel the loss. And I think that I would be more likely to agree with that one.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ, you know, you can't imagine life without them. Is that a sign that that's your soulmate?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think definitely, because a soulmate can be like a close friend or a romantic partner. Doesn't necessarily mean a lifetime partner. So you two can easily have other relationships, but y'all always come back together. No matter which way you go, y'all always come back together, whether it's to talk, whether it's to have Bible study, whether it's to hang out and think about having 39 wives and 79 kids. But y'all are always together. Y'all are always going to be, you know, entwined with one another. So I'm going to go with absolutely yes.
Okay. Well, for this particular conversation, we're talking about intimate partner, not just a friend. So is that still a yes?
As in married to? Intimate. Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's how it should be. Yeah, if you're my soulmate, I can't imagine living without you. I have to be with you.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that for us. Brother Al. He's so sick.
Yes.
You know, I can't imagine life without you. They say that's a key sign that you're soulmates. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, you're with somebody and you enjoy their company, you know. Yes, just yes, you know, you just like, wow, I can't see me not being with this person. I would say that's definitely a sign.
Okay. Well, Minister AJ, they say your soulmate knows exactly what to do to calm you down. Is that true?
Absolutely, yes. They should know what to do to calm you down. Because if you don't know what to do to calm me down, you probably know what to do to piss me off even more. So, as a soulmate, yes, please know what to do, what clown outfit to put on to calm me down. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know what? I can't. Brother Al, they're saying that, you know, your soulmate knows exactly what to do to calm you down.
Yes, indeed. You should know that. You know, it's very helpful because I could be going in and you know exactly what to say, what to do, and to get me out of that zone that I was just in, that reckless zone, I should say, that I was just in. So I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. Tamika, would you agree?
I think there are situations where, you know, they may say or do something that you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. And I think your relationship with God, that's where your relationship with God is of the most helpful, because when you don't know, you know who to go to have you say the right words or do the right thing, or even, you know, in Minister AJ's case, you know, wear which clown suit to wear, you know. But God will give you the advice as to what to say and how to say it and when to say it, because we've already talked about timing and what to say and how to say it, and your relationship with God is paramount in situations like that.
So is that a sign that it's your soulmate?
Well, I think ultimately...
You're giving a different dynamic, so I'm trying to figure this one out. What you got?
Okay. So then I would say that your soul is in God, and so God directs you. Maybe I'm looking at it differently, but your soul is in God.
Tamika, you just took us to a whole different conversation. Girl, is it your soulmate when they know how to calm you down?
Get her.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Like, yo, you're confusing me. Oh, my goodness gracious. You're sipping on the yak
stuff in the
over
backyard.
There this morning.
That stuff in the backyard.
The pomegranate juice ain't working this morning. Oh, my God. All right. All right, so Brother Al,
yeah.
They say that your soulmate will also know how to get underneath your skin. They know how to rattle you. Would you agree?
Your soulmate know how to get under your skin. I'm going to say no. I don't think that would be that's your soulmate, that you can know that that's your soulmate from there. I'm going to go with no on that one. And that's because I'd have been in previous relationships, and I'm not with them, and they knew how to get under my skin, especially my son's mother with my son. So I'm going to go with no on that one.
Okay. Tamika, did you come from the backyard already?
There's nothing in my backyard.
Yeah, because you didn't pick it all up.
Well, this morning, you know, other mornings when Brother Al said you were going in the backyard, I didn't believe him. Today, I got a question
now. Now you see.
Can you tell if it's your soulmate because they know how to get underneath your skin?
I think because you know how to make that individual happy, you definitely know the trigger marks. And should you want to get there, you can. But you avoid those things because you're trying to allow your relationship to blossom. Oh, you know how to get there. Oh, you know how to get there. You know the road. You know the map. You know exactly which buttons to push. However, you choose not to do it.
Okay. Minister AJ, you kind of touched on this in your other answer. But would you say, you know, give it an official sticking a pin in it, would you say that your soulmate knows how to get, you know, get to you too, knows how to rattle you, knows how to get you mad?
Absolutely. Usually, especially with a soulmate, you discuss even your pet peeves. You discuss what pisses you off, what makes you mad. And if you're around them long enough, after a while, you start to notice their mood swings. You know, and so you'll know after a while what bothers them. Absolutely.
Okay. Ah, Lady Tamika, for this one, it says, even after being together for many, many, many years, there's still chemistry between you. Does that indicate that that's your soulmate?
Oh, yeah. And that takes work, you know. That's not something that just happens overnight. And that thing where, you know, they still make you know, your bells ring, or, you know, just hearing their voices. Ooh, you know, you should be happy to hear or to talk or to see that person, spending time with that person. Yeah, definitely. I would definitely say that's a sign of that being your soulmate.
Okay. Come on, Minister AJ. You know, after you've been together for so many years, there's still chemistry. Is that your soulmate?
Absolutely. If that chandelier is still swinging, yes.
You know what?
I can't.
Absolutely. It should never run dry, you know.
Okay.
The well should never run dry.
Okay. Ah, Brother Al, is that an indication of, you know, this being your soulmate? If you can still feel that thumping in your heart and all of that chemistry is still there after being together for so many years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. That's a beautiful thing. You know, after all these years, you still see that. And, you know, and you see that with these seasoned couples. I remember being at a wedding, and this couple stood up, and they was married for 45 years. And she still had this giant smile on her face when she talked about it, and so did he. So, yes, that's definitely a sign.
All right. Okay, let's see, Minister AJ, what we're giving you. Oh, I like this one. Can you tell if this is your soulmate when you're completely, completely comfortable around them?
Absolutely. You definitely want somebody who's going to be your peace, and also that you can share things with. If I can't talk to you and you can't talk to me, and I can't be myself, and you be comfortable with different clown outfits, then yeah, we definitely can't be soulmates. But you gotta be comfortable, you know. And even with the dynamic of asking for money, sometimes that's one of the hardest things. Like, if you, not saying that you should have to borrow or want to borrow, but sometimes even asking your mate for money, or you know, those are some of the things that will make you feel comfortable or uncomfortable. You know, communication, talking, and you know, being able to ask for things.
Okay. Brother Al, is that a sign when you are completely comfortable around a person?
Yes, that's a great sign, because I'm not that comfortable around a lot of people. So if I'm comfortable around you, it's all good. Are you comfortable around me? Yes, indeed. That's definitely a sign.
Okay. So the experts seem to be doing okay so far. Lady Tamika, what do you say? Is this a sign of this being your soulmate when you're completely comfortable around this person?
I'd be more inclined to agree. You know, there are different phases of us as women, and, you know, I shouldn't have to be one specific way because that's the way that you like me. I should be able to be who I am and feel free to be who I am in any place and at any time because, you know, I feel that you are my soulmate. I shouldn't have to put on a facade or be a specific thing for a specific moment.
Okay. Brother Al, they say it's a sign that this is your soulmate when after you've spent, you know, a few days in your own area, you can't wait to catch that person up on what you've been doing. Would you say that that's your soulmate?
Yes. I would say that because you're just dying to share with this person that you know care about you as well. And so I would say yeah, you know, you just can't wait to get to tell the person, hey, let me tell you what happened today, let me tell you what I did, you know. So I'm gonna go with yes.
Okay. Tamika, is this a sign that this is your soulmate when you spend all the first moments together trying to, you know, let you inform the other one what has gone on in the last couple of days?
I would definitely say that, you know, I can even say that in my current relationship, you know, when I do get to see Al, you know, whatever day that is, whatever, you know, it's, you know, let me catch you up on, you know, current events, you know, such and such happened and I went such and such a place. And, you know, sometimes it's so funny because we're both trying to fill each other in with events that have happened that sometimes we talk over each other or we forget where the last topic was because there's so much information between this time and the next time. So I think it's definitely a good sign.
Okay. And what about you, Minister AJ? Do you agree that that's a sign that this is your soulmate when you run a mile a minute with the chatter, trying to catch them up on what's going on?
Absolutely. Tell me what's been going on, baby. Tell me what's been going on in your world. Not even just the joyous things, the good things, but tell me, you know, everything. Have you been running from mono? Have you been running into mono? What's going on?
You know what? I can't. You know. Oh, my goodness. Well, let me ask you all this. Since you said yes to that, what happens when a person doesn't want to share with you? Would you say that that's a sign that that's not your soulmate? Or, you know, that's not really, and this is something that I'm asking myself, you know, they don't want to, you know, run to you and share everything with you. They, you know, what do you think that means? Let's put it that way. What do you think that means when they don't want to readily share things with you, Brother Al?
For me, I think it says a couple things. It says that we're not in tune, and maybe that person don't want to come share things with you because you always shoot them down or you judge them. So I think, you know, in a case like that, you also need to take a look at yourself. okay, when this person comes tell me something, do I shoot them down? Do I laugh at them? You know, are we really in tune? So, you know, it makes me question some things first before I come to that assumption that, okay, they just not my soulmate.
Okay, okay, okay. Tamika, you know, you're talking about wanting to tell. What do you think if a person, and not necessarily being a soulmate or not, but what's your general thinking when a person does not run to you and want to share everything with you?
It could be something that happened in their past that has caused them to be a true introvert to the point that they don't want to share. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's always selfish. It can be, but you have to look at the root. You have to go all the way back to, okay, what caused you to be like this? Were you always that way? You know, what happened in your life to cause you to be, you know, to the point where if I ask you something, you don't want to share? You know, I ask you one question and it's fine, then I got to walk on eggshells for the next one. That's a difficult thing to deal with, and you have to be able to, especially in relationships, it's mandatory that you share, you know, and it becomes a more hardship and you struggle more. The more I ask you and then I can't get an answer, it becomes all the more difficult because then I don't know how to address you. I don't know when I address you. Should I say something now? Should I not say something now? Is now a good time? If I smile, will that open up the doorway? If I create a laugh, will that open up an avenue? You have to work at finding what avenue works.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ, you know, they don't want to share. What does that mean to you?
Could be a bad sign. You know, maybe they don't know how to communicate it. And maybe they don't know how to articulate their words. Maybe they're sharing with too many people. Maybe they're trying to have too many soulmates. And they don't know how you're going to look at them. So, eyebrows is definitely raised when you don't want to share. Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. That just kind of came across my head when you were answering, you know, the other thing. You feel like you've known one another your whole life long. Is that a sign that it's your soulmate, Tamika?
I would definitely say yes. There are things that, like, I don't have to necessarily tell you because you're in tune with me, you know. And that, let's just say, if you've been with me for a year, it feels more like you've been with me for 20 years or 30 years. And that 1 year may have added so much more to my life. And, you know, I hope that in turn I've done the same, you know. And so I think that is definitely something that you can say yes.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ, you know, you just feel like I've known you all my life. Is that a real feeling?
That is definitely a real feeling. Me and Betsy only been together 8 months, but it feels like eternity. And me and Shaquana Laje Alize Zinkins was together 5 years, and it never felt like that. Yes, it's a real thing. Somebody can come into your life today, you can meet them today, and they can do more for you in a couple of months and make you feel better in a couple of months than somebody that you've been with for years. So, yes, it is definitely a real feeling. Love you, Betsy.
All right. All right. And is an indicator that this could be your soulmate.
Absolutely, because a lot of times when you feel like that too, you're definitely probably dealing with somebody who observes you. So they know what you like. You know, they know what to do. They know how to maneuver. And that's a person who's not into themselves, you know, 100% where they can observe you and find out what makes you happy.
Okay, okay. Brother Al, you know, they say that feeling that, you know, I feel like you've been with me my whole life, that's a sign that you're my soulmate.
I'm going to go with yes on that one. Yes, you know, especially if you feel like you've been together for a long time in a good way, because also to feel like you've been together forever, and when is it going to end? But I'm gonna go with yes with that. Like, it's like, wow, we've been together how long? Like a year? Wow, it seems like 10 years in a good way. So I'm gonna say yes to that.
Okay. Well, I have a question for you all. It sparks another thought. I remember working with a woman, and we didn't eat lunch all the time. We didn't eat lunch all the time, but there were times we would spend eating lunch. And one particular time, we had lunch, and the company had purchased the lunch. And I was at the reception desk at the time, so I could not get up the way everybody else could get up. And as a matter of fact, she was the receptionist. So she knew it was almost time for her to go back. And she was like, oh, Steph, you know, I'll get your plate. Don't worry. What do you want? So I told her, and it included salad. A salad was included. And when she came back and she brought the plate, she brought Thousand Island dressing in a cup. And she said, you know what? She said, you like Thousand Island, right? She said, that's your favorite. And I was like, how long does she remember that? You know, she doesn't, you know, she hasn't been around me that long. What do you say for your significant other or the person you're dating, or even sometimes when you're married, when they can't remember those fine details? What would you say about that, Tamika?
We have mentioned, it takes time, but then with the time, you should be processing in your mind, okay, you know, I know she likes this, or, you know, this type of fragrance. We went someplace and, you know, she was like, oh, that smells so good. You know, those are things that you should be locking in, you know, as you go along. And I think it is important to remember those things. You know, you never know when there'll be a moment, you know, especially if you're impulsive, you know, to give a gift or to strike up a memory. And when you don't take the time to remember those things, I think that it's important, you know. And there's a sign there. There's a red flag there that you don't even try to remember that her favorite color is, you know, blah, 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 you know. And those are things that help you along the way. You know, sometimes when you have a rough spot, you know, remember the fact that, ooh, her favorite color is orange. So you go out and buy her, you know, some orange flowers. Those things are the things that help the relationship blossom. And not trying to remember, not trying to make it important. It's just, you know, it's kind of like, oh, it's just information that's not even vital. And if you want your relationship to blossom, those are the things that are the most vital.
Okay. Minister AJ, you know, we're talking about a person who did not spend a whole lot of time around me, but managed to remember that was my favorite salad dressing. What does that say when the person you're dating, or your significant other, or even your spouse, they don't remember those fine details? What does that mean?
That's a bad thing. That means, because it could be a lack of interest there. Usually when you're a soulmate and you really want to be with somebody, you want to know about them. You want to know what makes them happy. You want to know what they like so that you can present to them what they like. But if you don't, maybe it's because you're self-centered. Maybe because it's all about you. Maybe, you know, you wasn't taught to make the next person happy. Maybe, you know, you're a selfish person and versus being selfless. So it's a lot of flags there, definitely, because, you know, to you yourself, when you want to be on it with a person and you want to take care of them, you want to do what makes them happy. So you're going to pay attention to every little thing, you know.
Okay. Brother Al, what would you say is what does that mean? What would that mean to you?
Oh, man. Well, it would say to me that you're a little selfish, you know, and maybe you're not my soulmate, because if you're my soulmate, like Minister AJ said, you know, I want to know everything about you. You know, I want to know things about you. And that way, like you said, and tell me that you're not observant, You know, you don't observe what I like or things that I do, you know. And sometimes, especially us as men, you know, we forget sometimes the anniversary and stuff like that. That just, I don't know. We just, some men do. We forget that. And perfect example, like with me, I remember a lot of stuff about Tamika, but one thing I always forget is her size. So I took a piece of paper and had her write down every size, her shoe size, her pants, her dress. So just in case I want to surprise her with something, I got that in my wallet where I know what size this is and what size to get on this. Because I'm bad with buying clothes for one. I am bad. Tamika said, I am bad. I'll look at things like, okay, that's a small where you need a medium. So I took a piece of paper and I wrote down everything, dress, shoes, everything, write the size down. And I keep it in my wallet. So just in case if I want to get her something, I go to the wallet. Okay, she wears size this. She wears, okay, I'm good. Because I'm bad with it. So, but it's still showing a thing of being observant and wanting to do certain things. So if you don't want to do it, you're not observant in it. And it makes me question, are you my soulmate? Because it's like you don't care what I like or what color or anything.
Okay. I like that. Men take a lesson. Write it down. Put it in your wallet.
Write it down.
That's what I do with my medications. I got tired of trying to remember the stuff that I take. I just wrote it down, folded it up, and put it in my wallet. And when they ask, bow, there you have it. So that's a good idea, Brother Al, you know, to write those things down because your memory may not be that great. So you want to get, you know, you want to get those A's. I like that, Brother Al. I like that. Minister AJ, they say that when it's your soulmate, that you have a bond that outsiders would not understand. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's how it is when you're a soulmate. You know, y'all can look at each other and, you know, almost like you said earlier, tell what each other's thinking. Y'all can make faces. And you know exactly what the person is thinking. You know what it means. And just the way you carry yourself, going down the block, holding hands, how you're riding in the car, being googly eyed. You know, y'all have a bond that most people won't understand, especially if you met, like, in a strange way or whatever. But, yeah, y'all have that chemistry. And people, and it's evident. When people see you, they can know, listen, oh, them two, they're together. So, absolutely.
Okay. Brother Al, would you agree or disagree that, you know, when your soulmates, you have a bond that other people would never understand?
Oh, yes, most definitely. You know, me and Tamika have some of the most craziest things, and people look. And, you know, we don't care what people say. We know what we're doing with each other. And somebody could come in wearing something crazy or just something, and Tamika will look right. I'll see it. And to me, and I look at Tamika, she'd be like, don't you do it. Don't you open your mouth and say a word. Because she know a joke is coming. And we have a little run-on joke with each other because, you know, we both like to eat. And Tamika be eating up something. I'm like, baby, you fat. You fat for that. And somebody be, oh, did he just call her fat? He disrespectful to her, not knowing. We got our own bond. That's how we joke with each other because she said the same thing to me when I'm eating up something. So it's definitely you have a bond that other people don't understand.
Okay. Tamika, what do you say? Would you agree?
I would definitely agree. There are inside jokes. There are expressions. There are, for instance, you know, I've always been one who if something is going on, you're going to see it in my face. So I don't necessarily have to say anything, but everybody won't get the sentiment of what the expression means, you know. And when you're in a relationship and when you're in tune, you could be across the room with my back turned. Now, mind you, I haven't looked at you. You're facing my back. So my body language with you being around me and spending that time and being in tune and knowing, okay, you know what, she's got her hand on her hip. There's something that's going on, you know, and I'll give you a prime example of something when we're talking about someone being in tune. I remember this was years back. I was sitting in front of my front yard and I was pulling up, I was pulling up weeds, you know, flowers and things in my yard. So the weeds will choke the flowers. So I was pulling up weeds in the yard and this man came in the front yard. Oh my gosh, here we go. I knew it was coming. At any rate, I was standing in the front yard, and this man came from nowhere, and he was talking to me. And at first, I was like, okay, good morning, how you doing? And, you know, he continued to talk and continued to talk and continued to talk. And at one point, you know, you try to humor somebody, but after a while, you get agitated. So I was leaning with my back against the fence. And my mother looked out of the window, saw my body language, and automatically knew that I was agitated by the individual speaking to me. So she called me inside on purpose. She didn't want anything, but she recognized by my body language, okay, my child is agitated. Let me call her, have her come in the house to relieve her of the stress. And so I think that when you are, I believe that when you're in tune with an individual, you don't even have to look at my face. My body language, the tilting of my head, the hand on the hip, you know, the shifting of a leg or shoulder will automatically say to you, uh-oh, there's a problem, or uh-oh, she's happy, or whatever the case is, you should be able to know by my back being turned how I feel.
Okay, okay. All right. Brother Al, no, yeah, that's right, Brother Al. They say when you are... You know that this is your soulmate. When you hurt, they hurt. When you're happy, they're happy. What do you say? Is that a sign that it's your soulmate?
Yes, indeed. I definitely will say that. Not even that. Not only just that. When you're in pain, I'm in pain. You know, that is definitely a serious connection there. You know, like, wow, my baby not happy. You know, what's wrong? I'm not happy. You ain't happy, I ain't happy. So we got to get back happy. So I'll say that's definitely a sign of connection and, you know, being your soulmate, definitely.
Okay, okay. Tamika, is that a sign? You know, when you hurt, I hurt. When you smile, I smile. And when you're off, I'm not feeling too well. Is that a sign that that's your soulmate?
Definitely. And you work to make that change. You know, what is it that I can do to help? How is it that I can make you feel better? You know, I've seen relationships which I've often questioned. You know, she's upset and you're happy. And I'm like, how is it that that ever came about? You know, what is it that her sorrow brings you joy or his sorrow brings you joy? That's definitely a big sign. It's a red flag. And so when you're annoyed, you know, if I'm not annoyed, at least I can feel the sentiment. Okay, you're annoyed. Let me see what it is that I can do. Who can I call to handle this situation so that you're no longer annoyed? Or what can I say to ease that moment so that you're feeling better?
Okay, okay. And Minister AJ.
Absolutely, you need somebody who is in tune, in touch. You know, you don't want nobody you're going through and they just sitting there smiling the whole time. Like, what in the world is wrong with them? But you need somebody that's going to carry what you're feeling. To me, it shows concern. You know, I'm down right now. I'm not happy. You're concerned. You know, by sharing the same feelings, which will eventually turn into actions that show me that you care. And it's important that if we're soulmates, that you care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, okay. We're coming down. We're coming down. I got two more good ones. Okay, Tamika, they say you know it's your soulmate when every story you tell includes that person. Is that a sign that that's your soulmate?
I would be inclined to say yes, but it could also be that you don't spend any time with anybody else.
Yeah, I had a couple alternatives
myself.
There are
conversations. Huh?
I said, yes, I'm inclined to think that that could mean a couple of other things, too.
Yeah, it doesn't always mean that, you know, it just might mean that you don't spend any time with anybody else. And so maybe, you know, it's okay to have a healthy breakaway, you know, a little hobby of your own. I wouldn't automatically say that that's a sign of that being, you know, you might just be short-lived, meaning that, you know, you only spend time with that individual. So I wouldn't put that along the lines with the rest of them.
Okay. Minister AJ, you know, they say the sign is every story you tell. Mary's in that story. Is that a sign that's your soulmate?
Yeah. For me, yes. A lot of times when people tell stories like that, whoever they're mentioning, it's the person who they want to be with. Even though there might be a whole lot of others around, that's who they want to be with, you know. Somebody was telling me a story the other night, and now I'm starting to think I might be their soulmate because I was in that story.
Okay, Ms. AJ. Brother Al, you know, every story they tell got John in it. I don't care if they went to the store or if they went to Hawaii. It just don't matter. Every time you turn around, they talking about this person. Is that the sign that it's your soulmate?
That's a sign that that person may be crazy.
Nah. Possibility.
I'm going to go different on that. I'm going to say, no, that's not a sign. You know, you do have some people that you could just be girlfriend or boyfriend, and that person is obsessed with the person. And I've seen that, too. So, it's just like, girl, that's crazy. This person just, you know, every story, you know, and I wasn't even there, but you put me in the story anyway.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
I can't.
Yeah, you said every story. Hey, I went to the grocery store and Al should have been there, but he wasn't. But I called him and said, okay, I see where this is going. I'm calling Bellevue and see what we can get going on here.
Did
you get somebody from meeting a crazy person? So I'm going to go different on that. I'm going to say, nah, that's not a sign for me.
Okay. Lady Tamika, we're going to finish this off. You know that it's your soulmate when you have decided to stop looking, when you've said, this is the one. Is that a sign that it's your soulmate?
Yeah, that's definitely a sign. You know, you decide that you want to put the little black book away, your little Rolodex of numbers. You know, you're pretty much at a point. Even when, you know, somebody... I know this is going to sound funny, but somebody looks at you the wrong way. You know, they didn't say a word. They just looked at you like they might have had interest, and you just, you know, you purposely avert your eyes or even avert your body in a position that clearly says to the individual, uh-uh, don't even try. Don't say nothing. Keep your mouth closed. That's definitely a way to say, okay, you know what, I'm done. I am satisfied, and I'm not looking. So definitely I would clearly say that that's a sign that you have found your soul.
Okay. Brother Al, would you say that, yes, this is a sign when you have said, you know what, that's it. The search is over. What does that mean?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's definitely a sign because, you know, you're not even, you know, you might even see somebody that's handsome or pretty, but it don't even affect you. It's like, okay, well, my baby pretty too, you know. So I think that's definitely a sign when you just say, hey, you know what, I'm not interested in nothing else but the person I'm with. That's definitely a sign like, okay, this is the one.
Okay. And you have the final say today, Minister AJ. You know, the search is over. I'm going to stick a pin here. I'm not looking anymore. Is that the sign that you have found your soulmate?
It should be. It should be the sign. But unfortunately, sometimes because of the one you with, the so-called soulmate is so crazy. You know, you better not look elsewhere because she coming
you know
to get
what?
You. Either that,
oh my goodness.
Or some people don't have money to search past the one, so they stick with the one.
Mm.
Yeah.
It always
yeah.
takes you to bring up some interesting dynamic. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That used to be my line, baby. Ain't no way I could be cheating. I don't have money to take care of one. Now, you know, in my former life. That's my former life.
Oh, my goodness. Did you really say that?
I sure did. They definitely believed it.
Oh,
no way in the world
I can. Wow.
Wow.
So you know they're your soulmate
when they only want to spend their money on you. See? Very good. Good clothes. In Jesus' name,
okay.
Amen.
Okay. You're going to give the good clothes. That's nice. That's nice, Mrs. AJ. I want to thank my Due Time crew, Brother Al, Tamika, and Minister AJ for holding it down today.
You're welcome.
And giving a nice snapshot of what your soulmate could look like. So I pray you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
You do the same.
Amen.
You.
You as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you. Oh, okay. We have come to the moment on Monday morning where we get the switch tip. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What you got for us?
I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. Our switch tip 58 is check your thoughts. There are three places our thoughts stem from. They either come from God, from you, or from the enemy. Philippians 4:8-9 in the New King James Version reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." And those thoughts that you get when you meditate on all of those pure and just and lovely and noble and true things, those come from God. How do we know that? Because our natural mind is against God. So if you call out to him, or while you're praying, while you're having Bible study, or whatever you're doing, and God now gives you those true, pure thoughts, you know that only those thoughts can stem from God. Romans 8, verses 5-6, in the English Standard Version reads, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." And these thoughts come from you. Every morning God wakes us up, we have to make the decision on what we're going to follow. Are we going to follow our own mind and our own thoughts, or are we going to surrender and turn our thoughts and minds over to Jesus and ask him to order our thoughts? Just because we're saved and or baptized don't mean we automatically wake up following him. It's still a daily choice. And a lot of people who are non-believers or who just don't grasp this concept quite don't get it. So point these two verses out to them and help them to understand that you have to make the choice to have the mindset that follows the Spirit that leads to life and peace and not follow your flesh, which leads to death. Then we have 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 in the English Standard Version. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." And most of the time, these thoughts are from the enemy. Now, again, like I just said, it does not mean you don't have to shut down your thoughts that come from you that go against Jesus. And a lot of the time, when God puts you on the stuff, when he helps you to become a lot more knowledgeable in his word, and when you start to develop your own personal relationship with him, and he blesses you with that knowledge and wisdom and discernment, you now have the enemy that comes and tries to bring in the thoughts from the opposite end and tries to whisper it in your ear, because he cannot dwell within you, thank the Lord, if you have the Holy Spirit. So now he has to just try to influence you in a very heavy manner on the outside. So now when you notice, like, if you just learned something, so let's just say you just learned about the Sabbath, right? And now you've learned that Sabbath is a day of worship, but now all of a sudden you're having all of these crazy thoughts that say, no, well, you should still worship on a Sunday. You can still worship on a Tuesday. You can still, it's like, okay, well, why am I now having all of these thoughts that are deliberately against me now observing the Sabbath? Most likely that's from the enemy. And when it's time to now decipher, and you have to decipher where these thoughts are coming from, because you have to make sure that your prayers are targeted. You just can't say, it's not enough to just say, God, get rid of these thoughts. You have to ask God, God, are these thoughts coming from my heart? Because now I need you to discern my heart. Now I need you to, you know, help me to attack my heart and to bring peace to that. Or I need you to help me to teach me how to have the enemy flee from me if these are coming from the enemy. You know what, God, I noticed that these thoughts are coming from you, so I'm going to need you to dwell more inside of me. When I realize these are coming from you, I need to open myself up more to invite your thoughts in instead of closing your thoughts out. So it's very important that we discern where these thoughts are coming from. So again, the thoughts are either coming from God, they're either coming from you, or they're coming from the enemy. And you can sit around and think that it's okay to think these things. If you read Ezekiel 8, like I just read this morning, you know, God gave someone a vision and showed them how they were worshiping God, praising God, all in the public, and not even in front of other people, but, you know, even in their alone time. But secretly, they had idols. Secretly, they were worshiping other gods. And God is examining all of that. So read those verses in that chapter. Read these three verses that God gave me, for me and for y'all, as to how to discern where these thoughts are coming from. And let's make the conscious decision to check our thoughts and stop thinking that it's okay to think certain things just because we may not be physically acting on them. Everything starts from the heart, which then goes to your mind, which then develops in our actions. So let's make sure we're making the conscious decision to make this switch from just ignoring our thoughts to properly discerning them, so we can have God and Jesus help us to get our thoughts in order. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. And, yeah, check those thoughts. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you. So we're, again, partnered our conversation. God partnered with our switch tip. Okay. So pay attention. Pay attention to those things. Well, it's come time in our Shaking the Monday Morning Blues morning to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, because you are so generous to us day by day. You've been better to us than we have been to ourselves, God. We've had a wonderful morning where we're talking about the connection pieces. And as Tamika raised, the Heavenly Father, the soul contents, which way the soul moves, belongs to you. It belongs to you. And we can do whatever we want to do, but it ultimately belongs to you. So we need to make sure that we first give ourselves to you. Thank you, God. Before we give ourselves to anybody, before we figure out if this is my soulmate or is this the person for me, or did God choose this person for me, or did I choose this person for me, or like Shanti said, check. Make sure you check them thoughts. Before we do any of that, God, I pray that we just bring and surrender ourselves to you each and every morning when we get up. Because as we heard in all of those different scenarios, how we can get off the track, even in our switch tip, check your thoughts, because we can be off track. You know, we have to have our thoughts under subjection by you. And that's what I'm asking you for this morning, to help nudge us, help draw us closer to you, God, so we don't walk around feeling our way around, trying to figure out how to get this done, because you have the blueprint that we need. Like Shanti said, you know, you've given us directives, and we're still trying to work it out in our own head without realizing how blessed we are that you did pay attention and you did answer that prayer. Which way do I go? That's all we have to do is come to you. Come to you. Thank you so much for being there. Regardless of what time we get this revelation, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter where we are, we can come to you for direction. We can come to you to check our thoughts. We can come to you to see if this is the right person for me. We don't have to wait in line. We don't have to wait to find out if you have time, if you're busy or not. We thank you for just being that kind of God. Just gives it all to us. And you can give it at any given moment, even when we're not paying attention. So my prayer is now that we stay on alert for you, that we're not so busy with the soulmate. We're not so busy in our everyday activity. We're not so busy in ourselves, in our thoughts, that we don't even catch when you're sending the answer. Thank you so much, God, because every day you are grooming and growing us to be right on point. We don't have to be lost. All we have to do is subject ourselves to you, your will and your way. Choose you each and every day, and you will give us exactly what we need moment by moment. Thank you so much, God, for always looking and showing us what we need. And we will not hesitate to give you the glory and the honor. So rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Ah. Even when we're missing a couple of our due time crew members, we can still bring out some salient points and issues. And, you know, how grateful should we be that no matter which of the five that are still here, we can still get what we need. Thank you so much, God. You know, we're talking about soulmates today, and, you know, we started off with the kissing mono and what we've learned today that we did not learn many years ago. And we're talking about having so many wives and children and grandchildren. And, you know, how do we know if it's our soulmate? You know, it's all a puzzle piece, believe it or not. If you have not already put that puzzle together, it's a puzzle that all works together. You know, do we take our time and let God choose who we partner up with? Or do we make our own decisions and we partner ourselves up with people who are contaminated and contagious? Everybody fits the mold. So now you have 39 wives because you just can't figure out, you know, who's better, or you're going to try everybody out to make sure you choose correctly. And this is my soulmate, and that's my soulmate. And as Tamika so rightly put it, our soul belongs to the Lord. So who are you going to let dictate that soul? Are you going to do it all by yourself? Because we all know what happens when we try to move independent of God. No, that's not the move that we want to make. You know, I can't even imagine. You know, they said, you know, the article said that it was a polygamous cult. And it has to be. It has to be. You know, God did that year, you know, back in biblical times. But there was a time when he said, all right, enough is enough. I don't need all of that to go on. And you, if you think about it, God had to put that to an end. Because if we buck wild now, imagine if we were allowed to function like that. Imagine. That would be some kind of mess. And are we doing that in our hearts and our mind? Maybe not, you know, outright like this particular gentleman. But are we partnering ourselves up? Is our soulmate in everybody who we're dating? Everybody who we're reaching out to? Everybody who, you know, we're connecting ourselves with? We're trying to find a reason and a season, you know, for them to be a part of our life because that's what we need at that point. Well, you need to go before the Lord. Because I can promise you that there was not a whole lot of peace in that situation. And that's not what God is. There was not a lot of order in that situation. And that's not what God wants for us. We have to make sure we seek God first. Because we can clearly see that that's not seeking God. That's seeking your own. You know, he must have felt like somebody big. So we want to make sure we feel big in the Lord. Let the Lord dictate all and, you know, and who you get involved with. Because I'm sure a whole lot of diseases was flowing around between that set. Think about it. Please like us on Facebook. A Closer Walk Media Network is how we are found. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you open up that link, press that pink button, and you will be notified each and every time we upload a new segment. Follow us on Instagram at ACW_media_network to stay updated with our tips, topics, and our guests. Knock on our door, Coach for Christian Life or A Closer Walk Media Network, and let us know how you enjoyed the show. Go back and listen to past episodes. Oh, my goodness gracious, that recap was something else. There's no way we can't get some good stuff from going back and listening to episodes, previous episodes. Go to iTunes and Apple Podcasts to rate and review the show. Make sure you let the world know why you tune in all the time to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Well, tomorrow, God spares, is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And, oh, I can't wait to hear what we discuss tomorrow. So make sure you join us. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold it down. I want to thank you for listening, my wonderful listening crew, for helping me get this job done. Couldn't do it without you. All right? Well, I want to also implore you to seek Christ as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Okay? Until tomorrow God spares our life, I love you.